Yes, sir. Happy 1st of June, everyone.
And welcome on into episode 46 of When Worlds Collide. Good to be back again with you here, Fishy.
Yes, sir.
Even though you're a little remote. But
yeah, that's fine.
We got a jam-packed epi for you guys today, starting with some Xbox predictions for the showcase coming up here. But as always, you know how we start these things, my friend.
Oh, I always know how we start these things.
Oh, don't worry. I got
ready?
I got it taken care of there, guy.
I was going to say, you're going to have to do the cracks for this week because I got bottles.
Yeah, a little crack there. We always start an episode with a nice crack.
Ooh, baby. Cheers, everyone.
Ooh, baby is right, my friend. And to start with our gaming portion of the podcast, what do we have as far as our question of the day?
All right. So for this month's, you know, gaming events going on, question I proposed was, what do you think was the most memorable event that you could remember that happened at E3? You got one on your mind?
So this was a tough one for me. I've been really invested in E3 since I started watching it. But initially, you know, I don't think I started watching it until college. I didn't even know it was a thing, dude.
Yeah.
I was always big into video games, but my emphasis more in high school was on sports. And then, you know, getting into college, had more time for games, and that's kind of when I really started getting more invested in it and watching E3. And that was right around the time that Xbox announced backwards compatibility at one of their E3 showcases. And that was one of the things that stood out to me the most. You know,
oh yeah,
them bringing all the old games back onto the Xbox One. I believe it was the 2015 E3 they announced that.
Yes, it was, yeah.
So if I had to pick one, I would say that. I didn't want to go in a negative light. I know a lot of people will say the Xbox Kinect and just the whole Xbox One launch and how pitiful it was.
Yeah. even 360 Xboxes, didn't they have to, that's when they released news that it always had to be online, like always have an internet connection for you to use it.
Yeah, for the Xbox One, I think that was the same launch. Was there?
Right, okay.
Yeah, they were saying the Xbox One had to be online all the time. And then it was bundled with the Kinect. And then just that whole blunder that started off the Xbox One generation. But like I said, I wanted to stay on more of a positive light. So I was going to make a callback to the Xbox backwards compatibility, which is still a very prominent thing. And I use pretty regularly. The first one that comes to mind is I was just playing Saints Row 2 not too long ago. As well as the old Bully game that I was hoping we get a sequel for. I don't think we'll ever see it. But those are the two that...
Might never know.
Yeah. I mean, those were the two in the last month, not even, like, week or two that I can think of that I've played using Xbox backwards compatibility.
Right. And the thing is like, we don't even, like, think that much about backwards compatibility, but, like, it's still, like, really big news for everyone else because like Sony just started like doing their backward compatible games or like their version of it, you know, like with their new subscription service. So like Microsoft has been ahead of the game for years now, so I always appreciate that for them.
Yeah, I don't think Xbox has always had I know that Xbox hasn't always had the games lineup that Sony has, but their services their services have always been top tier. And that was one of the things that I think carried me through the Xbox One generation is I knew that we weren't going to have the best first party titles, but the services were good enough to keep me around and not going to the dark side of Sony.
Exactly. We're always hopeful, always waiting.
Seriously,
never vigilant,
dude.
Xbox fans. But the one that I remembered most recently, because it just got me so hyped up, was when Keanu Reeves came out on stage during E3. This was, what, back in 2017, I believe?
That was, like, it was pretty, like, hype when he came out on stage.
Yeah, and he was just showing the new announcement for Cyberpunk 2077. And after that conference he had, I right then and there, I wanted to pre-order Cyberpunk so badly, but I don't think I had the money at the time to do it. And thank God you didn't, dude.
Holy crap. Right.
I'm still hopeful for the game. I still want to play it, but yeah, when Keanu Reeves came out on stage during that and just like did his whole spiel and everything, he's just like, some guy in the crowd was just like, "You're beautiful." He's like, "No, you are." And it's like, dude, it's just such a great time.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And then, you know, that actually makes me call back to, I didn't watch this live, but I've seen, you know, reruns of it when they brought The Rock out for the initial launch.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. For the initial launch of
the Xbox console. As well, we had Undead mention in chat, probably when Wasteland 3 was announced, and also Bethesda announcing Fallout 4 after waiting to the end of the event to show it, is the one he mentioned.
I remember that too. Seeing the Fallout 4 announcement was pretty hyped. That was like the only Fallout game I fully completed.
So I actually completed 3 multiple times, and then I've still have not completed 4. I think I would credit that to, I think 3 was actually a better game. Also, 4 came out when I was streaming, and my single player / story driven, mostly like things I like to play outside of like FPS games, kind of took a dip with my streaming time.
A little bit of a dip.
But yeah, dude, if you haven't played Fallout 3, I think that one was definitely better without having completed 4. So I guess it's kind of a biased opinion. I don't know, Undead, I'm assuming you've played both. What do you think?
My only experience with Fallout games was, I played Fallout New Vegas when I was a kid back on the 360, and I just like had no grasp of knowledge of how to play those games. So like I just like was wandering around for hours, just like picking up everything, not knowing what the hell I was doing. And I eventually just like got bored of it because like I just like had no idea how to play the game. But later on, when I bought Fallout 4 and played it, and I was just like going through it and just like actually experiencing the story, I was just like, holy shit, I see why people love Fallout now, because like of the way that they designed the story around the game, it was just so fucking good. So Fallout 4 will always be my favorite, only because I fully completed that game. That was like my first iteration into the Fallout franchise, and that's why I loved it so much.
Yeah, so Undead had mentioned that he thinks Fallout 3 had the better story and lore, but 4 had the better gameplay, which makes sense. You know, the newer iteration of franchise should have better gameplay, right?
Less clunky. Always has the same amount of bugs in Bethesda's case.
Right. But like, so I was actually listening to a podcast on Locked the other day, and they were talking about how Bethesda, it's almost like customary for them to have bugs now, so that they don't want the Bethesda games to be completely polished, because some of like the lore of Bethesda games is some of those weird glitches that aren't game breaking, but are there and like become like memes and like almost endear themselves to the community that loves Bethesda games. I thought that was an interesting take that I thought was a cool concept.
That's another way of saying, oh, we'll just let them slide on making poor quality games. I don't know if I like that. I can see how it makes sense for Bethesda, but like, goddamn, their bugs are just ridiculous. I'm fine with like in-game bugs, you know, just like when like characters like, you know, glitch out and stuff like that. Or
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Not like, yeah, not game breaking shit. Like it looks like somebody's face is melted or something, you know, like,
yeah, just like funny shit, you know.
Yeah,
like,
that's what they were talking about.
Yeah, I remember Halo Infinite's like alpha gameplay test where people could like infinitely dupe that wet floor sign by like throwing a dynamo grenade on it. Like shit's funny.
Yeah,
that shit's
funny
to see.
Exactly. So that kind of shit's good.
Yeah, I let things like that slide. But if it's like directly impacts my gameplay or like multiplayer experience, that's when I start getting pissed off.
Yeah, Mama mentioned that that she's never played Fallout, and as Undead mentioned, they are on Game Pass now with Bethesda under the Microsoft roof or umbrella, whatever analogy you want to use. But definitely go check them out, Mom. Those are fun games for sure.
Yeah.
Polsky, Boston, and 6. Yeah, I don't think so, buddy, but we'll get to that in a little bit.
That's actually close to my prediction, but the other team.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so we brought up this topic of what our most memorable E3 moments were because we do not have an E3 this year. Instead, we do have the Summer's Game Fest, we have the Xbox Bethesda Showcase, PlayStation Showcase, whatever that's going to be called. So we do have some things coming up here that we wanted to kind of touch on. First being the Summer Games Fest, which will encompass all the gaming events set in June, with the first up being the PlayStation State of Play, which will be happening tomorrow, actually. So from what I was seeing, what the hell do they call it? State of Play. Will last about 30 minutes.
That's pretty on par with their usual State of Plays. It's not like a full-on conference. It's more of like an update for PlayStation that they do, kind of like a developer update for games that we watch and stuff like that.
Gotcha. So what are some things that we can expect to see from the PlayStation State of Play event tomorrow? Also, do we know what time this is taking place?
Oh, I actually looked that up.
I'll give it a Google. You tell me what's going to be in it.
Yeah, it's like early or something, or like it's somewhere on the western side, so like maybe like 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time or something like that.
1 o'clock.
So right now, PlayStation doesn't really have any lineups going from it, from the obvious fact of God of War Ragnarok, which got delayed till 2023. So I expect we're going to get some. I don't think we're going to see like any more, you know, like incredible things from God of War. Maybe just like a release date, like an official release date for it, and just like what to expect from the game. But I saw some news about it where they're going to try to come out with more news for their PlayStation VR 2, like 2.0, whatever the hell they're calling it. So we'll probably see some news on their virtual reality thing that they got going on with it. Maybe like have some game releases for that and how they've upgraded the technology for it. And on top of that, it's probably just going to be a bunch of third-party games that like Xbox will also share with them. So like nothing really special there. I keep hearing about this.
Probably Call of Duty, I would imagine. Or maybe not, yeah. Actually. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I guess the deal isn't officially done. Yeah, I don't know. So what kind of third-party games should we be expecting? Like off the top of the head, I'm trying to think. Maybe Saints Row?
Saints Row could be a big one, yeah.
Like what are third-party games coming out before the end of the year? I'm trying to think.
The only one that I've been seeing so much news on, which I just like can't fathom, I don't know the name of it, but you play as a cat and you just a like cat? You're like in a yeah you play as a freaking cat, and everyone just seems to be so damn hyped for this game. And it just like you literally I saw some a little bit of gameplay from it, just as a cat you just like do cat things. And I guess you're just like trying to like look for food or escape the city or something as a cat. So like everyone just seems to be unnaturally hyped for that game for whatever reason. And one thing I am looking forward to, I don't know if Microsoft is going to do this or PlayStation, but it just released on Steam not too long ago. I'm also forgetting the name of it, but it was an indie developer that created a multiplayer game where you play as like retro action figures and you're like playing in like a little toy store.
I saw that. Is that the one I always see like advertisements for on TikTok like randomly?
Yeah.
You know, that's the one?
Yeah, it was like one of the most wished games for this year. The developer guy just released it on Steam. It's like the number one seller on Steam right now. And he has updates for it to come out with like a whole slew of new like features and everything. And later on, he plans to release it for consoles. So maybe we'll get some news from that. I don't think from PlayStation side, maybe from Microsoft, depending on which side he wanted to go with. But that game looks really good, and I cannot wait till it comes out to consoles because it looks super fun.
So Polsky brought up the point that probably Assassin's Creed would be a likely target for PlayStation Plus or PlayStation State of Play to show. But I heard there's a rumor that Assassin's Creed may actually be coming to Game Pass at launch. And I think the fact that Origins is on Game Pass now may be fueling that fire a little bit, that something is in cahoots with Ubisoft and Microsoft. But who knows? I mean, if these events only run 30 minutes, there's only so much they can really show within that period of time.
Yeah, they got to like do lightning rounds with their news and everything, because if it's only being half an hour, you really can't go into too much detail with things.
Right. So the other one that we're going to talk a little bit more about, the Xbox and Bethesda showcase, do we have a runtime for that at all?
Yeah, it starts June 12th. I believe it's at like 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, I believe. It's hard to get these like times right because of different time zones, and I'm a stupid American that doesn't know time zones.
Well, what time zone is it saying?
Got rid of the tab. Oh, no.
Oh, by the way, the PlayStation State of Play is noon Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific. Okay.
All I'm seeing is just Xbox Bethesda Showcase starts on June 12th. Doesn't give a specific time.
Okay, gotcha.
So we'll figure that out later.
One of the other third-party games that's getting some hype in chat, and I know it's hype for me, I don't know about for you, is the Saints Row reboot. Does that do anything to tickle you at all or no?
Actually, yes, because I saw some gameplay of it, and it definitely looks on par for Saints Row. It looks super fun. It's chaotic. You see some dumb stuff going on, as usual with Saints Row. So, I mean, I don't know if I'll, like, fully buy the game, but, you know, if it comes out with Game Pass, I mean, like, hell yeah, I'm definitely playing it.
I think I'm sending it, dude. It's in August. Right. I don't know what the date is, but I'm pretty damn sure it's in August.
Ooh, baby.
Yeah, I think I'm full sending on that cop.
Oh, Tuskhead, it's Hypercharged. It's the action figure game. Yeah. Oh,
okay, gotcha.
Okay. Dude, that game looks so fun. Good job on the dude who made that.
Yeah, that game does look cool. But back over to Saints Row real quick before we get into the Xbox Bethesda event. I just hope that they can keep the dialogue and sarcasm and just overall fun of the game going without being too repetitive. I don't want just a reskinned, updated Saints Row, right? That's my only fear for the game, is that they're not going to go too far beyond traditional Saints Row, right? I'm all about traditional Saints Row, but I want to see like new mechanics. And if the only new mechanic's a fly suit, like I think that's a little bit underwhelming.
Yeah, because they definitely got to bring the game into like the next generation limelight. So if like their main features are what you said, like the jetpack or whatever, that's not really going to do it for us, because we've seen it 1,000 times at this point. So, and I'm all for like the humor and like the witty jokes that they do in the game. But you know, if they're not hitting, or like they get like annoying like a few hours into your gameplay, then that's just like a big red flag for me. Because like I don't want to be playing a game fully where they just like make these jokes that just like don't make me laugh or anything. Right. Instead, it just makes me annoyed. So, well, like, they definitely have to be hitting on all cylinders.
Speaking of hitting on all cylinders, dude, I need to be able to hit somebody with a dildo bat, all right? Give me a big old purple schlong, and I want to bust somebody's skull in with it. B-Blat, Brian, my guy, I was thinking the same thing. I guess that's that brother telepathy, right? I was just waiting for the prime moment to come in and talk about this dildo bat. Maybe... That's arguably one of the best weapons in all video games, right? That giant purple dildo bat.
I was about to say, I love how just like everyone who's played Saints Row, that everyone just collectively remembers the dildo bat. Like that's the only thing I remember from Saints Row. That and Terry Crews too. Terry Crews in the whatever the last was it Saints Row 3 that he was in.
Terry Crews is in Saints Row. Are you thinking of Crackdown? Yeah, I thought he was.
Oh, fuck, I am thinking of Crackdown.
Yeah, Crackdown was a fucking bust.
It was, yeah.
One of the Xbox One's absolute flops. Yeah, we got first-party games, Crackdown 3, that got delayed a year, and then it sucked.
Guys, look, it's Terry Crews. He's great. Everyone loves him.
Yeah, just...
Forgot about that.
Like, saying normal-ass sentences while he's screaming.
Right.
I got a rocket launcher, and I'm shooting people! Woo! All right. Terry, dude, chill out on the HGH, my guy.
We're here to pick up Terry. We're here to pick up pizza, Terry. Why are you freaking out right now?
Yeah, who gave Terry all the cocaine? You didn't even share with anybody.
I bet that was like his Like when he was voice acting in the studio, like that's what he was run by the entire time. Just like scream every sentence that we give you.
Yeah, guys, Terry's looking a little mellow. Let's give him another bump. Anyways, onto the Xbox Bethesda showcase, which we mentioned
that
that's going to
be depressed.
Yeah, the game sucked. But the Xbox Bethesda showcase, June 12th. So we have some predictions for you guys. So we're going to do it in three different layers here. First layer is going to be our wild predictions. Second is what we want to see the most. And third will be what we actually think we're going to see. So to start, you want to start with your wild prediction or you want me to go first?
You go first. Yeah, you do it.
All right, guys. Certain Affinity, some of the members from the OG Bungie group have been working on a Halo-oriented game for 2.5 years. Allegedly, this has been in development.
Allegedly.
With 2.5 years, and I think some of the 343 resources that are going to validate the lack of multiplayer support lately, I am predicting that June 12th, Xbox 343 Certain Affinity will be launching a Halo Infinite Battle Royale on the same day, June 12th.
Oh my god, could you imagine, dude? Oh, don't get me hyped up. Don't have me have hope for this game, cuz I've already been crushed multiple times before.
So
I don't need that in my life.
I mean, I'm like willing to be crushed. I mean, that's why it's the wild prediction, right?
Yeah.
So that's my wild prediction. Halo Infinite will drop a Battle Royale June 12th at the very end of the Xbox Bethesda showcase. And that will say, playable now. Get after it.
It'll be like 20 gigabyte update. Go at it, kids. Ah, bro, I can't deal with it. Can't deal with how hopeful that makes me.
Just for some context as to how out there this prediction is, Undead goes, don't worry, guys, Forge is coming in 2042.
Oh, God, dude.
Just let me dream.
That's what I'm saying, how like my hopes have been crushed multiple times. He literally said 6 months after release, we would have Forge. We're 6 months after release, we don't even have co-op campaign yet. Which should be implemented on release. I can't do it. I'm not getting started.
91 days. 91 days, buddy.
Yep.
But I guess I'm going to tone mine back a little bit. I have a little bit less of a wild prediction. Still kind of wild because there's been no news about it. What I actually think will happen, and it's still a wild prediction, is that the Gears of War collection will drop June 12th, available on Game Pass.
You son of a bitch. That was mine.
Well, now that you revealed them to me, you got four there. You got plenty to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's the more likely, obviously.
Right.
But like I said, let me dream. So as far as your wild predictions go, I know I kind of stole a little bit of your thunder there with that second one. But where are you going?
Yeah, along with the Gears of War collection, I mean, like, that would be super sick to see it in, like, next gen version, 60, 120 FPS, whatever they do with it. Full on multiplayer for all three Gears of Wars. I mean, like, holy shit, that would be insane if they did that. But one of my most outlandish predictions for this Xbox Bethesda showcase, I think Todd Howard might reveal the next iteration of the Fallout franchise. So I think we'll just see him come out on stage and do his like whole spiel with like trying to make people laugh and make fun of his own company and shit like that.
I love Todd. I love Todd Howard.
I love Todd Howard too, but goddamn, when he talks about how great his games are and then what we actually get, it always pisses me off. Fallout 76. So I think he'll come out on stage, just joke with the crowd a bit and everything. And then this might be like towards the end of the showcase, and we'll see like a nice little teaser trailer for Fallout, play like their classic music that they always have in it, just like give us something. Maybe like a year release date, like 2024, 2025, or something like that.
So are you thinking like New Vegas 2 or Fallout 5? Like, what are you thinking here?
It has to be New Vegas too. It has to, because I feel like they've overstayed their welcome with the, you know, like Fallout 1 through 5, whatever they're on right now. So New Vegas 2 would definitely be dope to hear about.
Okay, I could get down with that.
Yeah, and my other predictions, more on the safe side with stuff that like we've already been like, I wouldn't say like hinted at, but like we already kind of know about. I want to see some Fable news. I really do. I want to see what the hell that studio has been doing. I want to see some gameplay or like more cinematics or something, because like we only got that one trailer from however many years ago with that fairy flying through the whatever pond and then getting eaten by a frog. Like we got to see something on the new Fable, because it's been a while since we've talked about Fable, and I just want to be happy again and play that franchise.
So is that more towards like what you want to see most then? Not so much the prediction?
Oh, I predict that they're going to come out with Fable, dude. So I mean, twist my words around or something. I guess that pretty does usual. Fall in the other. Yeah, I guess that falls in the other category now that I'm mentioning it.
Well, hey, just full send it. What do you want to see most at the Xbox Bethesda showcase? You can go first with this one. So you already mentioned Fable. What outside of Fable would you like to see? And more specifically, what about Fable? Do you want to see gameplay, or do you want to see a setting? Like what, like a CGI trailer? Like what specifically would you like to see out of Fable at the Xbox Bethesda showcase?
I want to see a goddamn release date for it. I want to know when the hell this thing is coming out.
You want a release date when we haven't seen any gameplay or anything?
Yeah, dude. I'm gonna have a family and kids by the time this game comes out. Give me a release date just so I can prolong that family. But I also like you know, like any sort of gameplay trailer or just like, you know, like literally anything would make me happy. So that's what I most want to see. Second, which is pretty obvious, I want to see some Starfield news too, because it got delayed till next year, and I don't think it got delayed to developmental issues. I think it got delayed all because of Elden Ring. They want to make that game of the year, and Elden Ring's easily going to take it this year. So I want to see an official release date. I want to see some more gameplay stuff, what the hell we're going to be doing in that game, maybe like a map rundown or like whatever the universe, galaxy, whatever the hell they're doing with that game. Just, you know, again, just literally anything with that. Tie me over until next year or till the end of this year.
Fair enough. So I too would love to see some Fable. I don't think we're actually going to get anything at this conference. I think they have some other things that they need to show. I don't think they need to show Fable yet. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they need to show Fable?
No, not really. I don't think they need to, because Xbox, I think, I mean, like, again, I'm hopeful. They do have a strong game lineup, not for the end of this year, but going into 2023, hopefully. So they don't really need to show it. I just need something to distract me from the fact that we have had zero first party games this year.
Yeah, fair enough. So as far as what I wanted to see, like I mentioned Fable already. I want to see if they have any indie product or indie games in development. I feel like Xbox is always very tied in with their indie projects. So I want to see like what the next big indie game that they're working on is. You know, the two that come to my head that I've loved between Cuphead and Tunic, I want to see like what the next one to kind of fill in those shoes is. Those are the two that stand out in my head the most that I've enjoyed. So I want to see what the next iteration of the Xbox indie game is. Go for it.
I'm forgetting a huge game that it completely slipped my mind. From Bethesda's end.
Nope. I'm about to say nope.
Nope. Shut up.
I was talking.
Nope.
Hey, Indiana Jones.
Hey. Oh, no. We were thinking two different games.
Oh, okay.
Never mind. almost ended the stream right there. Got into a fight.
Oh, I have the mute button over here, and you're not here, so.
Yeah.
I want to see Indiana Jones. I want to see like where we're at with Indiana Jones. I'm really excited for that game. It's always been a movie and a series that I've loved. I can't wait to play the game whenever that time is. I don't think it's for a while still, but I just want to see where they're at on that. Just give me like a little tease or something, you know?
Right.
I think it's kind of in the same state as Fable. I don't think it's in the next year or two, honestly. More closer to 2024.
Do you remember that this like happened a few years ago? There's a game trailer that was called Contraband. Is that the same game as Indiana Jones? Or are they just labeling it as Contraband?
No. Contraband, I think, is like a battle royale heist game, from what I've seen about it. It's like you get dropped in this universe, right? And you can go steal from banks and shit, but there's also like other players. It sounds like kind of like Grand Theft Auto Online, but like a game.
Or Payday. You ever play Payday?
Yeah, Payday. But like a larger scale.
Okay. I thought they were just like relabeling Indiana Jones as that game. I got it mixed up for a second. But
I thought you were about to say Indiana Jones. I'm like, nope, I'm not letting him, dude.
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer for that too. That got me hyped up. But the game that I can't believe it slipped my mind for a second, but on Bethesda's end, dude, I got to see some Elder Scrolls 6 gameplay. It's been so goddamn long since we've heard any news. They've been like full throttle with their MMORPG, Elder Scrolls Online, whatever the hell it's called.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to see some news about Elder Scrolls 6 and like when, like what to expect from it and like what. Like, again, a release date, if we can even get it.
Gotcha. All right, buddy. Well, let's hop into what we actually think we're going to see here. So I'll go ahead and start with this one. I'll try not to steal your thunder too much here. But I think what we need to see, not necessarily what we need to see, but what I think we'll see is, I think we'll see some more Avowed gameplay, or just where Avowed's at. Obsidian Studios. They showed like real brief like gameplay. So I think they'll show some more of that as well. The Ninja Theory game, Hellblade 2. We haven't heard from that game in a while, so I think we'll get another appearance from that game as well.
Dude, that trailer that they came out with, it looked so... I think that was, like, an actual gameplay trailer that they showed.
Well, everybody was, like, wondering, is this gameplay or is this, like, cinematic or what?
Right. It was probably, like, highly rendered gameplay, but regardless, the game still looks fantastic.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. So, I think Avowed, I think Hellblade 2, and then the last one I want to mention is Forza. I think we see the next iteration of Forza, as well as potential DLC for Forza Horizon 5. And the Horizon games have always had really cool DLCs, whether it be, you know, the Lego DLC that was in Horizon 4, or I think Horizon 3 had the Hot Wheels. I might be getting those mixed up, but either way, the DLCs for Horizon have been pretty cool. So if not an actual game reveal, I think we get a DLC package coming for Horizon 5.
Yeah, I'm with you there too. I think it'll be on the side of like DLC packages for Forza Horizon 5.
Yeah, but what do you think, man? What do you think we're gonna see out of Xbox and Bethesda at this showcase?
The big headliners, what we'll actually see: one, Starfield, obviously, and two, Redfall, that vampire, whatever the hell game that's just really weird and funky.
Whatever the hell is like the right word, because like we haven't really seen exactly what it is, but I'm definitely intrigued by it.
I'm just like getting like Left 4 Dead vibes with just vampires instead of zombies.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
So like I don't know what to think of the game, so I definitely think we're gonna see some stuff from that, because that game was also supposed to release this year and it also got delayed till 2023. So we're definitely gonna get some news on that for sure. And then for Microsoft, I think we're also just gonna see like a whole like just montage of third-party games coming to Game Pass for them, because they did that last year and they just like showed what third-party games are coming for every month for the next year. So like I think they're gonna do the same exact thing, just like show us like two, three, four new games like every month from third party developers for Game Pass. So that'll be huge. I don't know. They'll probably do it at the beginning of the conference just to like get everyone hyped up, and then they'll go into like the heavy hitters followed by Bethesda and what they're gonna show. So that'll make me excited.
So we touched on that a little bit, you know, with maybe Assassin's Creed coming to Game Pass. But a game that was traditionally a third party game that maybe by the time it releases will be under the Microsoft umbrella is Diablo 4. Do you think there's a chance that we see Diablo 4 anytime soon? And if we do, do you think that'd be right as the deal is completed with Microsoft and Activision Blizzard? Where do you stand on that? Do you think we see Diablo 4 this year? Do you see it on Game Pass now that it'll be under the Microsoft umbrella, or where do you go with that?
Well, it's hard to tell, but I think Microsoft would be pushing really hard for Diablo 4 to come to Game Pass, especially after their merger is finalized. I think that'll be a good move for Microsoft and Activision Blizzard to release that game on Game Pass, because it'll just give them a steady flow of, you know, just like money, revenue, and like a player base to play, you know, like the Diablo franchise and everything. If they try to release it separate before their merger is completed, I don't know if it'll hurt or help them, especially with like all the news that we've been hearing for like the past year with that company.
Right.
I think it would just be a good move on their part just to release that game for Game Pass day one.
Gotcha. All right, man. Well, I think we kind of brushed our way through the gaming stuff. Do you want to hop into some sports here?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
All righty. So with the NBA Finals approaching, unfortunately, we have the Warriors and Celtics facing off in the NBA Finals. Two teams I do not like very much. So my sports question for you and for chat today, if you had to pick your top three most hated teams in the NBA, personally, where are you going with this? Do you have three teams that you can identify that you hate?
You're going to have to start with that one.
I got you.
I don't hate many NBA teams.
Let me get ready here. Oh, you know what? I actually skipped something here, Fish.
What?
I never let you rage.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How dare I?
How dare you?
Well, Chad, now you have a chance to figure out which three teams in the NBA you despise the most. While I give Fish the opportunity to rage, buddy, this is one of our new segments that's been integrated into the podcast starting last week. So go ahead, buddy. I'm letting you rage. Get after it.
All right. So my topic for this week is, why the hell are we paying $70 damn for next generation video games when there's still $60 base price on PC? It makes no goddamn sense, and it pisses me off to high hell. And most notably, Tiny Tina's Wonderland. We had to pay $75 goddamn for that game when it's $60 on PC. What the hell are we paying that extra $10? $5 for the tax. That makes sense. But what the hell are we paying that extra $10 for?
Let them have it, baby.
It makes no sense. And on PC, they get every fucking feature. It's updated weekly with all their fucking graphics cards and everything. But no, we have to pay $10 extra with that stupid price tag, that stupid symbol that says X and S on the cover. What, just because to make the game look a little better? The game's supposed to look better. We're on next-gen consoles. Oh my god, it makes me heated. If I swear to god, if the new base price for video games is going to be $70 on console, I'm just going to switch to PC. I already have it right next to me. I'm just going to be a PC player. I'm not paying that $10 extra for features that should be implemented already with new game releases. Oh my god, it makes me steam. Oh my god, it makes me steam so much. Especially for a game.
Let it all out, buddy.
It's all out now. It's all out. Oh, baby. Oh, my God.
How do you feel?
Ooh, I feel even more angrier just bringing it up. I feel like a just brand new person in a therapist chair.
All right. I need you to take that hate. I need you to apply it to our sports now, okay? So I need you to channel that hate. Think about the three teams in the NBA you personally hate the most. For me, two of them are playing in the NBA Finals. The Warriors, suck a bag of dicks, all right? Entire bag.
Whole bag.
Celtics are right there too. Fuck anything Boston. Pull scale up, you're still here so you can hear that. And then third, I'm going to have to go with... See, the first two are pretty cut and dry. Third, I think I'm going to have to go with the... currently the Nets, but like if I had to go back on like my fandom as an NBA fan, I'd probably go with the Wizards. Just because the Cavs, when LeBron was here the first time, had that rival with the Wizards. You know, when they had Michael Petras, Hito Turkoglu, Gilbert Arenas, all those guys that knocked us out of the playoffs when LeBron was here. Either the Wizards or the Pistons. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Wizards, though. So, yeah.
It's definitely a top three right there. Mine are, like, the obvious ones. I mean, like, I definitely don't like the Lakers. I don't like the Warriors. And I also don't like the Miami Heat. That's my top three. I feel like that's like the most top hated teams of the league for everyone. So I'm gonna go with like the people's choices for them. I always hated hearing about the fucking dynasty with, you know, with the Warriors and everything, and just like seeing LeBron move to the Heat after Cleveland. That just fucking pissed me off so much too.
Right.
And Lakers, I hated too, because I didn't like Kobe Bryant, RIP to him though. But yeah, that's just my cut and dry top three right there.
Hey, fair enough, man. So getting into the NBA Finals, we do have the Warriors versus Celtics. Who do you have winning this? And in how many games do you think?
Well, I predicted this too. Not that I got half of it right. Didn't you predict that the Celtics would make it to the finals?
I actually think I picked the Bucks, unfortunately. Wow. Yeah, I think he won this bet. I don't know what we bet on the time. We'd have to go back and watch the film.
Yeah, I think I went like Warriors Heat or something, but the Warriors.
I think you did do Warriors Heat, yeah.
Yeah, so I gotta go with the Warriors again. They're favored for tomorrow's game, but I think they're gonna win Game Six. It's gonna be a close series all throughout Game Five, and then they're gonna win Game Six. But I think they're pretty heavily favored throughout this whole series. And
yeah, it's also Warriors in six.
Yeah, but it's also dependent on, you know, if everyone stays healthy, if there's no COVID outbreaks, which we'll definitely get, because that always stirs up controversy and everything. So we'll see. If everything goes right for the Warriors, I think they're going to win Game 6.
All right. Well, let's make this interesting. How about it, Fish? I do think the Warriors are going to win as well, but I will take your 6 and I will raise you to 7.
Ooh.
So let's do this, Fish. If the Warriors win in 6 games or less, you win. If the Celtics win, or it takes the Warriors 7 games to win, I win. What do you think?
Ooh. That's a safe bet on my end. It depends on what we're betting on, though. What's the bet on?
Chat, what are we betting? Give me an idea what we're betting.
Yeah, can we do a chat bet on this one? I mean, I'll bong a Four Loko again in traditional sense.
That could be the default if we don't got anything better to do.
Yeah, I remember us talking about it earlier, and I didn't really like your suggestion because
what, the karaoke?
The karaoke. I definitely don't want to do that one.
Hey, fair enough. But so this series starts tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just kind of reviewing the matchup, is there anything that stands out to you in particular that could be, you know, if there's a player or a certain facet of the game that stands out to you as potentially being an X factor for either team? I know for me, just watching briefly the playoffs that I have, I think if Jordan Poole's able to capitalize on his ability to score, I think that opens up the floor for Steph and Klay to get theirs. Obviously, they're going to get theirs. But with all the attention being on them, I think Jordan Poole could potentially be the X factor that steps up and is that just additional boost that the Warriors need to push past the Celtics.
Yeah, that could definitely be one. I was thinking more on the end of the big men, you know, with Kevon Looney's. That's he said his name on the Warriors side, yeah. And then Robert Williams on the Celtics. I think it all depended. I mean, like, obviously the Warriors are just insane with their shooting percentages and everything. But, you know, if the big men can get those rebounds and everything, or just, you know, play really good defense, like, that'll be a huge X factor in this series.
Yeah, and I completely agree. And rebounds are going to be a big factor with the two top defenses in the entire league going up against each other. Getting those,
right.
Getting those offensive rebounds with second chance points and preventing those second chance points. Like you said, the big man can play a huge role in this series.
Exactly.
Going off that, we do have the... So these are the top two defensive teams in the NBA. So that means turnovers are going to be crucial in this matchup, right?
So yeah.
Between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum that have had turnover problems, they're going to need to be able to control the basketball and not turn over for them to have a chance. And it's bad enough how good the Warriors shooting is. And if you're going to give them free turnovers, it's just not going to happen. You know, if you're both teams are the top two defenses, and the Warriors are definitely the better shooting team, you can't give them free points off of turnovers.
Yeah.
So if they're able to control the ball.
Yeah. Doesn't Tatum have like a, he's like averaging like a bunch of turnovers for, I don't know, like per 100 possessions or whatever.
I don't know what the exact, I don't know what the exact number is, but I do remember like on the telecast or whatever the other day, them mentioning, you know, the lack of emphasis on not turning the ball over for these two.
Yeah. Oh, I got it right here. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are averaging 5.2 and 3.9 turnovers per 100 possessions. So that definitely plays a factor.
Yeah, you're talking 9 turnovers between two of your key players.
I mean, right.
Those nine turnovers can easily turn into 15 points.
Exactly. Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, if just hypothetically, 5 out of those 9 turn into transition threes or something, or easy buckets on the other end, that could be the difference in the game right there. So, I mean, if they can control the ball, that's going to be a huge thing.
Yeah, and especially when you turn the ball over to Golden State side. I mean, like, they're 100% capitalizing on that. Their offensive plays have been absolutely insane this season and throughout the postseason as well.
No doubt, buddy. Either way, looking forward to watching it. That game will start tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Game one of the NBA Finals. Over to football, because we can't go a week without talking about football. We got the announcement of the Madden cover, and it will be in honor of John Madden as he passed earlier, well, I guess at the end of last year in December at the age of 85. RIP, one of the GOATs.
One of the OG.
So with Madden being on Madden, do you have a favorite Madden in particular, or a moment that sticks out to you? I know you were never a big sports game guy, but anything in particular that kind of pops in your head, or even a cover athlete, that being said?
Well, the only thing I can remember from Madden is Walker scarring me from playing any of the Madden games when we were kids. So I don't have, unfortunately, a favorite Madden cover moment or, you know, anything like that. But the only thing I do remember is that I just couldn't play those games anymore after Walker just kept beating me to the ground when playing football when we were kids.
Yeah. So. I'm guilty of doing that to Brian as well. I think I've shared that story on the podcast before, so we won't go down that avenue again. But as far as favorite Madden goes, it's got to coincide with my favorite athlete. We finally got a Brownie on the cover back in 2012 with Peyton Hillis. And that's got to be my favorite one. That's probably the only time we'll have a Browns player on the cover of Madden. So Madden 2012 with Peyton Hillis, that's got to be my favorite, no doubt about it. Kind of sticking with the NBA a little bit, or not the NBA, the NFL, excuse me. We do have the match going on currently with 4 NFL quarterbacks going at it. We have Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers going up against Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Currently happening, they are on the 6th hole. They are currently tied at 2-2. with Brady and Rodgers winning hole 1 and 2, Mahomes and Allen winning hole 3 and 5, 4 being a scratch, and I believe they are on 6, maybe pushing the 7 right now. 6 might have been a scratch as well.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes also just won the long drive challenge too.
Oh, did he? Awesome. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But so it's not so much watching them golf that I've enjoyed. It's been all the trash talking that's been going into this.
And it's been so good.
It has been stellar, dude. Absolutely stellar. So I just want to quote a couple of things I've seen here. So first off being Tom Brady was asked before the match, you go about the match and about how he feels about Patrick Mahomes as a competitor at golfing, right? He goes,
yeah.
Patrick, although he's played a lot of great games, he didn't really win the important ones. So, Brady's coming out firing, man.
Dude, he's coming out swinging for this
and
tournament.
He did not stop there, right? So, earlier in the day when they had the Bleacher Report, Capital One, whatever other advertisements were on there, match, like, kind of preview, right? They had J.J. Watt, yeah, defensive end for the Arizona Cardinals, interviewing these four quarterbacks, and when he announced Josh Allen, all the Bills fans in the background started cheering, and Brady, you know, very so subtly just throws in another jab against Josh Allen and goes, yeah, it sounds like the Bills fan the first quarter, and by the fourth they're pretty silent.
Oh my god, dude. It doesn't matter what sport Brady plays, he'll just trash talk anyone.
Oh dude, I absolutely love it. Like I said before, so when Brady went to Tampa, Brady's a different guy. I absolutely love him now. He's hilarious on social media, yep, and everything.
Yeah.
but believe it or not, Josh Allen Allen did not stop getting shit on there, right? So when they asked his teammate for the match, Patrick Mahomes, what is Josh Allen's biggest fear? Patrick Mahomes responded by saying, coin flips.
He just can't catch a break.
Yeah, so Josh Allen's just getting shit on, which is hilarious, because he just seems like so like mellow. Like, obviously he's a competitor, but he's just big chilling, you know?
Yeah. Even his own teammate. Oh no.
Just pooped on him, dude.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, one of the best NFL playoff games in the history of the NFL, I would say, happened last year between the Bills and Chiefs, and it was just going back and forth. Literally, like, I think the Chiefs scored with 13 seconds left to send it to overtime. And then based on a coin flip in overtime, the Chiefs got the ball, scored, won, game over. So that's where that joke came from, for any of those that aren't as quite familiar with the NFL.
We talked about that on a earlier podcast, didn't we?
Yeah, about the potential rule change.
Yeah, I remember that, just like what we thought about the overtime rules and everything.
Yeah, so just a little callback to that and how funny it actually is.
Yep.
But the last thing I wanted to kind of touch on here was, we did mention that J.J. Watt was hosting this little prelim before the golf match went off, and he actually seemed to get a little bit steamed about quarterback protection in the league. He said that quarterbacks are overprotected, which Brady responded that he does not think so, and that people can't dive at his knees, and that's kind of what J.J. Watt went off against. He goes, I still get cut on a regular basis, people diving at my knees. So he got a little bit steamed about that. So my question to you is, based off this conversation that JJ and Tom Brady were having, do you think quarterbacks are overprotected in the league?
I would say, yeah, they are. I mean, but like, it also makes sense that they would be overprotected because
they're
like
the money makers, man.
Exactly, like they're basically the face of the team. They're the ones that like pushes the franchise forward and everything. So if they make rules directly pointed at quarterbacks to protect them, I mean, like, obviously, like, it's kind of like in your face, and that makes sense. So I would say they definitely are overprotected. So J.J. Watt is definitely in the right for this conversation. Of course, Brady would disagree with it, but like he hasn't played any other position.
Well, right. Also, like, he has to. Like, he can't say that, no, they're not overprotected, because that just hurts every other quarterback in the league, right? When you have the GOAT saying, like, no, yeah, we are overprotected.
Right, yeah, and I don't think quarterbacks want to have their knees taken out every game.
Right. Even though I do agree with J.J. Watt to some degree, I think it's gone way out of hand where, you know, I accidentally touched somebody on the helmet and I get fined. You know, like when that actually happened. Yeah, man. Like if you incidental hands to the face, I think is a 5-yard penalty, and then like you can get fined and stuff. So it's how do you control yourself when you're moving that fast? Like I think it's gone too far, but I do think that the NFL does need to protect the quarterbacks because they are the moneymakers of the league at the end of the day.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, don't just protect the quarterbacks; protect every player on the field. You know, like.
Do what you can. It is football, right?
Right. It's hard. It's hard when you're like a 250, 280 pound man with pure muscle, just running 20 miles an hour straight at somebody. Like it's definitely hard to like control your body in that sense.
Oh, no doubt, my dude. But anyways, to wrap up episode 46, so we just want to do our Sandlot spotlight. And we wanted to give a shout out to our number one fan of the podcast, always here first for the podcast, commenting constantly in the chat. And we just wanted to extend our appreciation for you, Mama. Just Mom 209, you're our Sandlot spotlight of week 2 of this, episode 46. Just Mom streams on Twitch here and there, doing some Vigor, Fortnite, all that good stuff. So much love, Mama. You deserve it. Go check out Mama's page if you haven't.
All the support you've given us and all the laughs.
You're definitely one
of the OGs.
Oh, thank you again, Mama, for everything that you've done for me personally, for the podcast, and just being a dope person within the community. So thank you again, Mama. And that will...
She's like, no, don't give me the spotlight.
I know. Additionally, Mama did not want the spotlight, so naturally, we had to do it.
Yeah. We had to do it.
But anyways, guys, that's episode 46. Thank you all again for being here. As always, you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube,
Twitch. Yeah,
Twitch. Yeah, there you go. So if you guys don't mind, drop us a follow, a like, subscribe, whatever it is on those different platforms. Very much appreciated. And yeah.
Till next week, everyone. Cheers.
Cheers, buddy. Episode 46.